James Spann on the ABC 3340 Weather Center on Tide 100.9. It's 72 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
The Gary Harris Show. You see him host Tide or Insider TV, Crimson Tide Kickoff, play-by-play for Alabama sports, and sports director for WVUA 23. It's time for the Gary Harris Show on your home for Alabama sports, Tide 100.9, and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
And good morning, everybody, and welcome into the Gary Harris Show for this Tuesday, April 29th, 2025. April's almost over. One more day after today, and we'll be into the month of May. Wow. I mean, it just, I say it all the time. Every year it just goes faster and faster. Welcome into the Gary Harris Show. I'm Gary Harris, Chase Brumfield, alongside manning the controls, taking your phone calls on the Storage Center hotline at 205-342-9904. And I'm out of the studio for a couple of days, Chase, and I got to come back in here and decipher the Barry Sanderson computer situation where I couldn't even get to the talk box. But Chase and I have a talk box on our computer where I can send him messages and he can read them back and forth. And I couldn't get it to open. And then when it finally opened, there was like six talk boxes on top of each other. Barry Sanderson computer, 101, don't take that course if it's ever offered. I can promise you that. So I think I've got it situated now. So we're ready to operate here on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 AM WTBC, your home. He just texted me, so you could close her from one click. No, you can't close her from one click when they're on top of each other. You can if they're side by side. If the boxes are side by side, you can close them one click. But when they're opened up, one on top of this one and on top of this one and on top of this one and on top of this one, you got to go through them and get them pulled up one at a time and close them out. We're ready to rock and roll this morning. We got a good show. I'm going to tell you about it in just a second. First, though, I need to tell you, as always, this hour of the Gary Harris Show brought to you by Alabama Credit Union, member-owned and not-for-profit. It really is a better way of banking. Alabama Credit Union is a top-rated local credit union with 37 locations across Alabama and one branch in Northwest Florida. We're ready to serve you. And that's exactly what they do. They serve. It is a terrific financial institution. And again, member-owned and not-for-profit. You need to find out the advantages for yourself. Go to alabamacu.com. That's alabamacu.com. Or get by and see them on one of their many locations, as I said, 37 of them around the state of Alabama and one in the panhandle of Florida. Alabama Credit Union. Loans for real life. Some rules and restrictions do apply. See if you're eligible for membership. Then join today and feel good about your money. And put a little extra change in your pocket. All right, here's what we got on tap for you today. Good show. 9:30, the Rocket Man, Rudy Army, 977 ESPN Radio in Huntsville will drop in to talk some ball with us, his weekly segment. At 10 o'clock, Nick Browder, who did a marvelous job as the head girls basketball coach at Hillcrest High School. And even though I was transitioning back from the beach yesterday and did my radio show, but did not work on the TV side last night. Still, though, was able to get someone texted me about Nick heading over to Thompson High School. And so I called him and was able to break that story on social media. Nick Browder, after a marvelous job at Hillcrest, leading the Lady Patriots to the Class 7A state championship game this past season, where they lost a close one to Hoover, is now taken over as the head coach of the Thompson girls basketball team. He's going to join us at 10 o'clock this morning to talk about that decision. It was a tough one for him, but certainly a great opportunity over there in Alabaster. Then at 10:30, it is the Patterson Law Firm legal segment with attorney North Patterson, who he and his father, Paul, are the lawyers at the Patterson Law Firm, and have done a marvelous job. Today's topic, can I recover if I get hit by someone with no insurance? Can I recover if I get hit by someone in an automobile with no insurance? That's our topic this morning. That'll be at 10:30. We'll welcome your phone calls as well with North Patterson from the Patterson Law Firm. I'll welcome your phone calls beginning right now on the Storage Center hotline at 205-342-9904. 205-342-9904 is the number if you want to give us a ring. We are ready to talk about whatever you want to talk about. I will say this, it's still an exciting time with high school baseball playoffs, softball playoffs, the SEC baseball tournament closing in, the SEC softball tournament right around the corner, NBA playoffs going full speed, NHL playoffs going full speed. But Chase, we have hit that, if you want to call it, I guess, the no football lull. Out of spring, we will have the SEC spring meetings coming up in about a month down in at Sandestin. We'll have SEC Media Days in July, but the football discussion, the NFL draft has come and gone. The football discussion has is still available to us because we can talk football any day that we want, but the actual content of college football and NFL football has slowed for a little bit. And but now is a time when we can start looking ahead to the fall. We've already discussed here on the program, and most of our hosts have discussed the fact that Alabama didn't do a lot to its roster, both in terms of getting players out of the portal. They did sign a couple of tight ends in the spring portal, but didn't lose anybody in the spring portal, and did add some players back in the December portal. But for the most part, Alabama's roster has stayed intact, which I think is a good thing. I think that that's a good thing because it tells me that the players that are here have bought into the vision for the program. And it also tells me, Chase, that the coaches like the roster that they have. So they haven't tried to do much to it. And I believe that's a good thing. Now, if you go out and you don't win as many games as you would like, then people will say, well, they should have brought in some players for that roster. And I do think that there, I have seen on some of the Alabama sites that there's still some concern, I think, about whether this defensive line is top-notch, a top-tier defensive line for the SEC. Some concern, too, about the offensive line. I think, and Chase, you can give me your opinion, I think that the most of the fans feel good about the secondary, feel good about the receiving core, feel good about the running backs. In other words, feel good about the skill position. Certainly, you're breaking in a new quarterback, but I think everyone feels like those three guys are talented. Ty Simpson's probably the leader in the clubhouse, but I do think on the lines of scrimmage, which I still believe, and maybe I'm wrong, but I still believe that college football, particularly the SEC, is a line of scrimmage league. I don't think if you can't line up and handle the people on the other side of the ball up front, you're going to have a hard time. And I think that's where there's some concerns by the fans toward this Alabama team. Is that what you sense or not?
Yeah, a little bit. When I've talked to callers, even at 8A, they're a little skeptical of what they were seeing on the field. If you look at past seasons and SEC champions, you look at the primary of what you just said, that's kind of the leading factor, any of you being successful in a season or not. There's still a lot to be obtained up until, you know, SEC Media Days and then fall camp, and then we get it kicking with Florida State. But I think Alabama could go pretty far. It's just, can Kalen DeBoer really turn the tide, per se, not pun intended, you know?
Yeah. This is a big year. This is a big season for Kalen DeBoer, because whether we, you know, whether it's fair or not, he has an opportunity this year to establish himself as the man. Or the flip side is, if it doesn't go well, there are going to be a lot of fans that are saying, even after two seasons, that he's not the guy. Last year, failure to win 10 games, failure to make the college football playoff. Now you go into this season with, again, high expectations, as they should be. Again, I think this is a really good team. But you have to get the results on the field. You know, Nick Saban was all about process. You know, are you willing to do what you need to do to get the results that you want? And that's the case everywhere. I mean, you don't show up on Saturday and win games. All right. Everybody that follows sports knows that. Even if you're not a coach or you're not really a student of the game, if you follow college football, you do understand that games are won in the spring, in the off season, during the week. Everybody wants to win on Saturday. Man, every college football team that runs through that tunnel, they want to go out there on Saturday and play hard and win. But if they don't put the work in, if they don't put themselves in a position to be prepared to play the game, they're not going to win. And that's just the way it is. But at the same time, to get back to my original point, you can do all those things. You can put in the preparation, but if you don't get the results, it does matter. And maybe, you know, you fall in love with the process, but it is a results-oriented business. And you can work as hard as everybody else, and you can have discipline in the program, and you can have buy-in and all of that. But if we're sitting here at the end of the season with 4 or 5 losses and you're not in the college football playoff, you might have done all the right things, but if you don't get the results, you know, that people are going to be questioning the process. People are going to be questioning the coach. People are going to be questioning the roster. So results do matter. At the end of the day, it's a results-oriented business. So you hope that in his second year, Kalen DeBoer gets this team and this roster to produce the wins needed to contend for an SEC and national championship. But we've got several months to be able to discuss all that. We're off and running on the Gary Harris Show. Real quickly, Chase, Houston last night had a chance to win at Golden State, and even that series didn't get it done. That was a chippy game. That was an intense game. I watched a lot of it. That was a physical game. Golden State wound up winning it 109-106, and they now take a commanding 3-1 lead over the Rockets. And in the other matchup last night in the East, that was in the West, I flipped it on. The first score I saw, I forget, it was like 39-13 or something. I mean, it was unbelievable. And Cleveland, I think, led by as many as maybe 60. They wound up winning 138-83. Holy cow. They won by 55 points. That wasn't a record for margin of victory, but it was close as they closed out the Heat in 4 games. They sweep that series 4-0 after winning 138-83. All right, it's 9:15. We're going to take a timeout. Tom, you hold tight. We'll get to you on the other side of the break. Drew DeArmond coming up at 9:30. We're going to talk about football and basketball recruiting, the NFL draft, and more with Drew. New Thompson girls basketball coach is going to be with us at 10 o'clock, and we're looking forward to that visit. And then at 10:30, we're going to have North Patterson with the Patterson Law Firm segment. So sit back, relax, get ready for another hour 45 of the Gary Harris Show, and we'll be right back with phone calls after this.
What's trending on the Tuscaloosa Thread.
Good Tuesday morning. Governor Ivey has granted $6.2 million to assist Alabamians with reducing their energy bills through the Weather Position Assistance Program. Here in West Alabama, community service programs in West Alabama will receive $500,000. They serve Bibb, Fayette, Green, Hale, Pickens, Lamar, Sumter, and Tuscaloosa counties. Click TuscaloosaThread.com for more West Alabama news, sports, and weather. It's free throughout the day. Don Hartley, Town Square Media, Tuscaloosa.
As much as Innisfree has evolved, it will always be that place to escape and have a good time. Whether it's for a game day weekend, to reminisce on college days, or to create new memories, if you're looking for a good time, there's only one thing to do. Head to the Free at 1925 University Boulevard. And don't forget about the Lucky Lunch Meet and Three Special.
Useless!
What a waste!
Surprise yourself. See if you can save in as little as 7 minutes at ProgressiveCommercial.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
365, 24/7. You'll find road and utility crews, tow trucks, law enforcement, and first responders working along Alabama's roadway.
We're making improvements and helping our communities stay connected.
We're working hard to make sure you're safe on the road. Now we need your help to make sure we're safe too.
Alabama's move over law requires you to move over a lane when you see flashing lights on the roadside. And if you can't safely move over, please slow down.
Visit DriveSafeAlabama.org, brought to you by the Alabama Department of Transportation, Alabama Broadcasters Association, and this station.
The Alabama Securities Commission protects you from financial fraud. Anyone asking you for investment money must be licensed. You're careful with your money. Fraudsters aren't. Before you invest, call our hotline at 1-800-222-1253 to verify the licensing of the person making an offer and the product. Don't lose your hard-earned money. Learn to protect yourself at asc.alabama.gov. Alabama.gov. Paid for by the Investor Protection Trust and brought to you by the Alabama Broadcasters Association and this station.
Are you receiving unemployment? Your benefits could be at risk. Here's how you can protect yourself and your benefits. Never respond to mail notifying you of a false claim in your name. Never answer a text message asking you to verify your account. And only respond to official Alabama Department of Labor's social media pages. Report fraud at labor.alabama.gov/fraud. Brought to you by the Alabama Department of Labor, ABA, and the station. The Alabama Department of Labor is an equal opportunity employer program. Auxiliary aids and services available upon request to individuals with disabilities. Dial 711 for TTY accessibility.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Another warm day today, partly sunny with only isolated showers this afternoon or this evening. The high today 85, tonight's low 66. Tomorrow, partly sunny. Showers will likely stay few and far between. The high tomorrow at 84. I'm James Spann on the ABC 3340 Weather Center on Tide 100.9. It's 73 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Covering University of Alabama sports, as well as the national and local scene as well. The Gary Harris Show, only on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
That getting back in here this morning, I'd be dragging a little bit. So what did he say to himself? I'll play some Bee Gees, and that'll get Gary Harris. I hope that the legend, the Aliceville legend, Tom, likes the Bee Gees, because I would be sadly disappointed, Chase, if he doesn't. Tom, you a fan of the Bee Gees?
I am.
Good.
I like them. I think that they had an extraordinary career.
Absolutely. Three of the greatest voices. Well, four, if you count Andy there. Their younger brother, they just, boy, musical talent, that's for sure. What's going on down there in the Big A-ville?
Well, it's a beautiful day.
Yes, it here. Is.
Sunshiny and just warm and weather that I love and enjoying the show and enjoy Barry and them this morning and just kind of keep back relaxing. Got to get going here in a little bit, though, get to work. But the quarterback situation at Alabama, I think there's a lot of misreading going on, in my opinion. And I tell you what I think it is. And again, I'm going to state my opinion, and then I know that you will have a take on that, and I look forward to it. But in my opinion, Ty Simpson's a stud. And I think it's known that he's a stud. And I think he's got grasp of the offense, and I think we'll see that. But the number one thing with the quarterback room is everybody's come in, and I think you sell them on the idea that develop. We have scouts here at every practice. They're evaluating. You're competing every day in practice against great defenses. You can hone your skills, and even if you only show them in 1 year, you will move to the next level. I think that is a realistic selling point for the University of Alabama quarterbacks. And I base the thing on Ty. I want to go back to him just a minute. He was in a game last year, and the camera angle just so happened to be on him and Coach DeBoer. And he made a read on a play that did not go for a touchdown, but it was a read, and the expression, the reaction that came from Coach DeBoer when Ty did that told me a lot of things about what he thinks about Ty Simpson.
Well, I don't know the play that you're talking about. I don't remember it, Tom. As far as your analysis of Ty as being a stud, I hope you're right. I don't know that. I don't know that yet. We will find that out. I think obviously he had the accolades coming out of high school, but I don't know if he's a stud or not. I'm going to have to see him on the field in games, and I'm talking about as a regular starter before I'm ready to, you know, declare that he's a stud. I think he has talent. I think he's got maturity, having been here. I think he's matured as a player. I think he's ready for the moment, but how he will play, I will have to wait and, you know, hold my judgment until I see a body of work. before I declare that he's a stud. So I like your analysis. I hope you're right, but I'm not ready to agree with you on that assessment yet.
Will you say that to Drew and see what his response is?
Sure.
Thanks, Gary.
Okay, thanks, Tom. Do you think Drew's going to want to beat me up if I say Ty Simpson's not a stud?
No, I don't. Just, varied opinions is entertaining
to
me.
Well, yeah, I certainly will. But do I think he's got a chance to be a really good player?
No, I'm not dogging you, dude.
No, I didn't take it that way. I think he's got a chance. I tell you this, I hope he's a really good player because I do feel like I agree with you. I think he's going to be the starting quarterback to start the season. And you know me well enough to know that I always believe that the first quarterback that you run out there to start the season, it's better for everybody if that guy's the quarterback at the end of the season. If you have to make a quarterback.
I agree. I could be all wrong, but, I'm just making between the lines reading and speculation because it's fun in the offseason.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
And I hope you're 100% right.
I think that when I present my opinion to you and ask for what you think about that opinion, that's the highest form of respect I can give you, I think. And then, two, I enjoy Drew's take. All you got to do is drop a drop of water in a bucket.
That's right.
He'll fill that bucket up.
Yeah, he will. It's one of my favorite segments because I don't have to talk near as much as I do in some segments, like you said.
One question.
I let him go, and he's always got good analysis. And as you said, the only problem with that segment is I go over every week, and we get crushed on time.
Don't worry about that part.
But no, but yeah, I'll definitely tell him. I'll tell him that you called in with that analysis and get his response.
Okay, thanks, Gary.
Thanks, Tom. Appreciate you. 9:27 here on the Gary Harris Show. And I was telling Chase during the break, so I don't mind sharing this with you, that just being gone for a couple of days, or two or three days, and it throws you out of your rhythm. Because when I'm here every day, I'm in a rhythm. Getting to get up, I get all my stuff that I bring in. I always bring in a bottle of water, and usually I bring in two Pepsi Zero Sugars, one for me and one for Chase, and bring in my little bag that has my, little cleaning wipes and my headphones and my mic screen and whatever few notes that I have. And I'm ready to go. Well, this morning, I forgot the water, which I can't go without the water. I forgot my bottle of water, forgot the two Pepsi Zeros. So I had to spend $2.25 on a bottle of water out of the machine. No Pepsi Zero to give Chase another little boost that we're looking for. And I'm just out of rhythm. Even after just a couple of days away, it's funny how you... Yeah, so anyway, but I'm getting going here, and we're ready to go. In fact, let's get to the break now so we can get started with Drew on time, and maybe I won't bust the segment. Drew DeArmond coming up next, 977 ESPN Radio in Huntsville, talking ball on the Gary Harris Show.
Slip ins are for the whole family, men, women, and kids, in all your favorite Skechers styles. Find Skechers slip ins at a Skechers store, Skechers.com, or wherever stylish footwear is sold.
Since 2011, Billy's Sports Grill, located on Main Avenue in historic downtown Northport, has been serving their legendary signature chicken sandwich, award winning wings, and handcrafted cocktails. Billy's is also the spot to watch all your favorite sporting events with big screen, high definition televisions, both dining rooms, at the bar, and outside.
Their versatile spaces could be customized to make your gathering unforgettable. The venue, Tuscaloosa Food Hall and Event Space, located at 6052 Watermelon Road, Northport.
Follow Tide 100.9 on Facebook today to watch our live shows, read the great articles, and interact with Bama fans today.
Show, and it is time for the Rocket Man, Drew DeArmond, 977 ESPN Radio in Huntsville. A lot of topics to cover with Drew. He hosts Talking Ball weekday mornings, and we talk a ball here on the Gary Harris Show. In fact, Chase, I want Drew to react to this trend that we have with these high-profile former NFL quarterbacks like Andrew Luck or current NBA stars like Steph Curry. becoming an assistant GM to the latest news of Shaquille O'Neal agreeing to become the Sacramento State men's basketball general manager. He will not be paid. Mike Bibby's the new coach there, former NBA star. Of course, Shaq's son, who played at Florida A&M, transferred to Sacramento State. Good morning, Drew. What do you think of this? Of course, again, I understand it brings a lot of recognition to a school like Sacramento State, but how involved do you think Shaq will actually be?
Well, we'll see. I mean, Shaq's, he and Magic Johnson are probably the two greatest examples of professional basketball superstars who made the smoothest transition to the business world. I mean, Shaquille has a lot of irons in the fire. We know he has a big stake in Papa John's Pizza now. He does quite a bit of spokesman stuff. He's a big part of TNT and their broadcasting. And, he may have wanted to get involved in college basketball. Probably doesn't have the desire to coach. But, Shaq's name carries a lot of weight. Mike Bibby was one of my favorite players in my era growing up when watching him at Arizona and helping, Miles Simon and those guys win the national championship. So, it's a way for Shaq to continue to stay close to the game. And trust me, he's got a lot of a good infrastructure around him. And again, I admire Shaq a lot because he's helped a lot of people. And for him to do that and do it for for pro bono, so to speak, I think he'll be involved. I don't think it'll just be as a figurehead. I'm sure he and Bibby have a really good relationship. They came up in the same era, so it's a way for him to stay close to the game, and it'll probably actually help him in his broadcast career. I wouldn't be surprised if in the years to come, I know that the TNT crew is going to ESPN, but I wouldn't be surprised if Shaq becomes part of their college basketball coverage. And, being a de facto general manager of a program, it'll allow him to stay close to college basketball and keep his one foot in the college game and one foot in the NBA game. And Shaq's always been a guy that was very well-spoken. His late stepfather did a great job of raising him, as did his mother. And Shaq is, to me, I know a lot of people talk about LeBron James and what he's done, but Shaquille O'Neal is one of my favorite guys just simply because I don't know if you've ever seen that special ESPN did, Shaq and Dale, which delved into Shaquille O'Neal's relationship with Dale Brown. But Shaq is a great humanitarian. He's helped a lot of people, and I like the fact that he's going to stay in close to basketball and in the college game because I think he can help. He can be he can help that Sacramento State program with his name recognition and his face. And again, I just want him to be involved in the game of basketball because I think he was a credit to it. One thing I also like about Shaq is he's not afraid to share his opinion on things. And college basketball needs the Shaquille O'Neals of the world involved in the game. And I'm glad to see it. I'm glad to see Steph Curry, involved in college basketball too, because I think he's another guy that brings a lot of credibility to the game with the way he's handled both his college and professional careers.
Well said. Let's stay with basketball. Alabama portal recruiting efforts took a hit with Cedric Coward committing to Duke. There's some roster spots available here for Alabama. Can you give us the latest and what might be happening? Obviously, Nate Oates is not going to want to go into the season with 10 players. So what can you tell us about Alabama basketball on the portal front?
Well, I mean, I just think that Alabama is going to continue to stay in constant communication with LeBaron Filon. I know he did an interview on a podcast, in the last couple of days where he said he was still 100% focused on the draft, but he said he's got to keep all his options open and he'll get the feedback about where, his draft stock is. Right now, it doesn't look like it's first round. So to me, if you're Alabama, you have to, you handle the Mark Sears situation, the Grant Nelson a year ago that drew on, even Jaren Stevenson that went on into May. I think you have to keep that option alive and really work it hard because you can build your roster around LeBaron Filon. I think Ryland Griffin, that's always kind of been there. And I think there were some other options, including Cedric Coward, that Alabama was looking toward. and even Darius Adams, but sometimes those don't work out. You know, NIL has something to do with it. Fit has something to do with it. And so you keep your options open. And I think they kept open communication with Ryland Griffin. And certainly Ryland still has other options himself. He has, Miami has recruited him, even though Jai Lucas has added a lot of pieces to that puzzle. And then of course you have, Bucky McMillan at Texas A&M. He's trying to build his roster and has basically had to do it from scratch. And then Missouri has been interested in Ryland, but he's somebody that had a lot of success in Alabama's system. There's a previous relationship. There's a trust factor there. And, I mean, he's a guy that you wouldn't have to teach the system to. He already knows it very well. So I think there's a reason he hasn't committed and he's still out there. And he was in Tuscaloosa this past weekend, reminiscing and trying to reconnect with everyone. And so I wouldn't be surprised if Ryland Griffin at this point is a part of it. So we will see. But I do think that Alabama has continued to have options, and that's what you have to have in the portal era, because it can shift, at a moment's notice. Because I think 2 weeks ago, Cedric Coward was very close to committing to Alabama. And if Duke had gotten Nate Amint, who was a top five player in the country, the highest rated recruit in the 2025 class that was still out there, then I think, I think that very likely Duke goes in that direction. And then Cedric Coward just ends up going to Alabama. But like we said, that stuff can just change and, in a hurry. And that's what happens sometimes. And you have to be able to pivot. Alabama has always wanted to bring LeBaron back, but they're going to let him explore his options. That's why you keep roster spots open. And then again, you have the relationship with Ryland Griffin. And I'm going to be interested to see what happens with this very interesting stretch four that they brought in last week. Keaton Bristow from Tarleton State. He's a mid-major kid, but you see it every day. I just saw the North Florida 7-footer commit to Indiana. A lot of these mid-major guys are getting opportunities. Grant Nelson to move up from their mid-major horizon type league to the University of Alabama or a Power Four. And so I still think Alabama's going to fill out their roster. And just I'll just caution fans, I know there's anxiety and you hate losing a player like Cedric Coward, but let's all be honest. I don't think any of us a month ago knew who Cedric Coward was, okay? He was a guy that only played 7 games at Washington State.
Right.
I mean, just 2 or 3 years ago, he was a Division III player. He had no offers. He went to Eastern Washington and played well, and then he was on his way to being, a really good player in the West Coast Conference at Washington State, and he got hurt. But again, I think Alabama did a good job finding him. I'm sure that's Preston Murphy. But all I'll tell you is they have a board, and they're continuing to keep their irons in the fire, and I think they're going to add 3 more pieces, and I think that'll start to come into play in the next several days. But I think Preston Murphy, Nate Oates, the one thing is they understand the portal and they embrace it. The problem you have is if you don't embrace it and you kind of fight it, and guys like John Calipari have done that in the past and it's come back to bite them. But I think Alabama will have a really good roster, and I think they're going to add some pieces. The key, though, to me, is LeBaron Filon. You'd really like to bring him back for another year, have him grow in this system. And he spoke very highly of Nate Oates and his time at Alabama, and I think that relationship is still a good one. And so I think they're just going to have to wait out the NBA draft process. You're probably not going to know the final pieces of the puzzle completely until mid to late May for Alabama going into next year.
Drew DeArmond with us. Let's stick with basketball. And initially, I was a little surprised when Darion Reed announced that he was transferring to Oklahoma, but then you do a little bit of a deeper dive. Of course, Jeremiah Fears is leaving. He kind of wants to be, or at least the people around him want him to be, they want him to be the guy. And, that's a system where he can catch the ball on the wing, shoot the mid-range shot, which evidently he and his people that help him manage his career are obsessed with him being able to play in the 15-foot range. So I guess it's a little bit friendlier system, they believe, than what Alabama played. But were you surprised that he wound up at Oklahoma?
Look, I mean, with the circus that I heard about that was surrounding that kid, I wouldn't have been surprised if he ended up going to play overseas in Saudi Arabia.
okay? I mean, there was a lot going on with Darion Reed. Like the kid's approach. I think he's a good player. I think he could have flourished at Alabama. But sometimes people don't let you flourish. And you got too many voices in your ear. And I think that was the case with Darion Reed. I don't think, certainly he was banged up when he got to Alabama. But I also think there was some quote-unquote load management going on, probably because of the depth of the roster. And it was one of those things where, and it hurt his stock because going into the season, he was on NBA radars and some even had him in the lower part of the first round. But when you're not playing, your stock goes down. So he was going to have to find another place to play. And, you know, the schools he was linked to, the first thing you thought was he would go back to his home state of Georgia, mm-hmm. went to Groveton High School. You thought he would maybe go play, for UGA. And Mike White, that didn't happen. And then the connection to Will Wade at NC State was mentioned, but Will Wade went in another direction. He just got a commitment from Arsenault from Houston yesterday. And then that's when the Oklahoma buzz started with Porter Mosier, who had recruited him out of high school. But let's be honest, Porter's got to win next year. He's fired, Gary, okay? I mean, he probably needs to get to the NCAA tournament again and win. He did a great job at Loyola Chicago, reached the Final Four. We all know he worked for Wimp at Arkansas Little Rock. He coached there, had success. But again, it's one of those things where he's going to be on the hot seat at OU. He needed somebody to build around. I think Reed could be a really good player for him. I'll just say this, you better have a good training staff because he seems to be hurt all the time. And again, I think it's disappointing because I really thought he could be a force on both ends of the floor if he had come back to Alabama. But sometimes there's just too many variables going on. And then Alabama's had some tough luck. I mean, Jaren Stevenson, I thought he competed hard. I thought he played his butt off. It just didn't quite come together for him at Alabama. He goes home to North Carolina. That's understandable with his connections to Chapel Hill. And then Mo Diabate, love the kid, love what he's about. But the price tag was just too steep. And, you know, I'll tell you this, I'm talking ball. We were told this morning, by a Florida Gator source John Frary, who's very close to that Florida program. This is how insane it is right now and the money being spent. Gary, you watched that Florida team. They were amazing. Denzel Aberdeen didn't start a game, Gary. He averaged, I don't know, 6-7 points a game. He got $2.5 million from Kentucky.
Jeez.
I mean, that's just ridiculous.
It is.
And he's a good player. He's really good player. But I'm not paying Denzel Aberdeen $2.5 million.
Jeez.
Okay? And so it's just out of control, and you have to be wise with your money. And I think Alabama, I've always said that they wanted to put together a really good package for LeBaron Fialon. I think they're going to try to do that. I certainly think that they can put together an attractive package for somebody like a Ryland Griffin. And I think Ryland very likely would like to return to Tuscaloosa, where he had the most of his best success in the college game. And then if you can add, you know, a kid like the Bristow kid, who is a very similar prospect to a Jaren Stevenson, very long, very athletic, and can, you know, play that stretch four spot. I think that would be three good fits for Alabama. All three of them, of course, LeBaron being a big part of this year's Elite Eight team, Ryland being a part of the Final Four team, and then this Bristow kid who was on campus last week. They have, they've already had all three of these guys they're very familiar with. And I'm sure, you know, NIL is going to play a factor. You've got to work out the finances and everything. Preston Murphy does a lot of that. But again, I just think they're going to continue to negotiate and hopefully, you know, put the final pieces together of this roster in the next couple of weeks.
Drew DeArmond with us from 977 ESPN Radio in Huntsville, where he co-hosts Talking Ball with Scott Tyson weekday morning 7 to 9 a.m., talking some ball with us. All right, let's switch over to football. And for Alabama, I want to get your take on, I believe it's a good thing that there were no departures in the portal, which certainly limited Alabama's, you know, in acquiring players through the spring portal. They did take a couple of tight ends, but, you know, you have to believe that the coaching staff is happy with the roster. And clearly by players staying, which is very rare, you have to believe that there's a buy-in and a vision for the program. We'll see, you know, what happens in the fall. But, you know, your just reaction to the very little portal movement for Alabama in the spring.
Well, I think it's I know this. You're big into music on the Gary Harris show. Man. We all know that. But I'll quote an old Billy Joel song from years ago. It's a matter of trust.
Yeah.
And that's basically what it is with Kalen DeBoer and his staff. I think the staff he's put together, I think he's a communicator. He's a guy that likes to connect with his players. I think he has. I think it says a lot that, you know, nobody – they were the only SEC team to not have someone depart after spring practice. I know there was worry that Austin Mack or one of – you know, as far as might depart the quarterback room because so much was talked about with Ty Simpson and certainly, you know, Keelon Russell, but he stayed. And I just think the players trust the coaches. And in this transfer portal NIL era, that's huge. Now, you have to have NIL, okay? But it's like I told someone who questioned Alabama's NIL a year ago. Alabama would not have Kalen DeBoer as head football coach or Nate Oates staying at the University of Alabama or Rob Bond coming to coach baseball at the University of Alabama if they didn't have NIL. Even Christy Curry to a degree with women's basketball. If you're not being given the resources to compete in your athletic department by your athletic director and in your supporters, you're not going to keep coaches, Gary. They're going to be leaving, okay? And Alabama has had a really good track record lately of when they hire the right coach, he stays or she stays. And so they've been able to retain their coaches. You don't see a lot of turnover. And because I think Alabama's committed to winning. And so I think that's a healthy sign. And so certainly with Kalen DeBoer coming in, he had huge shoes to fill with Nick Saban. But they completely changed everything about the program. And see, I don't think enough people talk about that. I mean, you're changing offensive, defensive, and special team systems completely. The only thing that stayed the same, basically, or a couple things, was David Ballou with the strength and conditioning program because they had a previous relationship as a stroke of luck. David Ballou worked with Kalen DeBoer at Indiana. So they had a very strong relationship already. And so that was very key. There's no doubt about that. And then they kept Jeff Allen because I don't know that there's anybody better in college football with their medical staff than what Alabama has had to take care of the players. So other than that, though, you're changing everything. And so it took a year for everybody to get their feet underneath them. Certainly, I think there was double-digit departures after the season. But so much of that was square peg, round hole stuff. In other words, Kalen DeBoer is getting to know the players. They're getting to know him. And by the end of the first season, you know what you need. You know guys that fit and don't fit. That's why you saw some departures and even some high-profile ones after the season ended. But then once they got, you know, the guys in the portal that they wanted, the Isaiah Hortons, the people like that who can, and the Kelby Collinses and the people that they targeted in the portal, and now you've talked about Brody Dalton and Jack DeMarco at tight end. I think everybody's comfortable in their role and they're just ready to play football. And certainly Alabama, they don't spend as aggressively as Texas does in the transfer portal. I mean, you saw Texas, they're adding guys left and right. Georgia added several. But guess what? Did Alabama beat Georgia last year? Yes, they did head-to-head. They didn't have as good a record as Georgia, but they beat them. And, you know, and then certainly with Texas, you know, Texas came up short, didn't win the SEC championship. And Texas hasn't won a national championship in a long time. It's been 20 years now since they've won one. And before that, I think it was 30-plus. Now, if you talk to their fans, they've won 6,522 national championships because after they win one game, they think the season's over. But that's not the case. And I'll just say this. Kalen DeBoer is 1-0 against Kirby Smart. He's never lost to Steve Sarkisian. He's never lost to Dan Lanning. And so I'll just say he still has a very impressive coaching record. And I think going into the season, certainly Alabama's not going to get a lot of buzz for winning a national championship or even the SEC. Probably they're going to focus on Texas and their haul in the portal, and they're going to focus on Georgia and focus on other teams. But I think Alabama is just fine with that. fly under the radar and then shock some people when the season starts, because it's kind of interesting, and I kind of like it in a way. Some people are complaining about the lack of spring games and the lack of, you know, of being able to see these teams, you know, and what they look like going into a season. But when I was growing up, Gary, you never the spring game wasn't televised and wasn't as big a deal as they turned into. And then when fall camp started, you know, you would start hearing buzz about guys, but you never saw much of it. And it was always kind of like unwrapping a present when games kicked off in August and September. You finally get to see some of these guys you've been waiting to see. And I think with the transfer portal and having to get these teams to mesh together, you're going to start seeing more and more of that. And I like where Alabama sits right now under Kalen DeBoer going into year two.
All right, Drew. Tom, one of our top callers and a big fan of yours, called earlier and wanted me to present you with something. He called me and told me that he believes that Ty Simpson is a stud and wanted to get my reaction. And I said, well, I think he's a good player. I'm not going to label him a stud yet because I haven't seen enough of him. He certainly had the credentials coming out of high school. He's matured since he's been here. I think that he's, you know, the leader in the clubhouse to be the starter. And if he is the starter, I think you agree with me, it's always better for a football team if the game one starter is your game 12 starter. I think that bodes well. So I'm pulling for him, but I'm not ready to label him a stud yet. And Tom wanted me to phrase that and you know, give you that opportunity for your thought process on Ty Simpson and whether you believe he's a stud.
Well, I think he had a really good spring. I think I loved him coming out of high school and his intangibles and being the son of a coach. And I think his physical attributes, I don't think he was mature enough from the neck up early, but that's, you know, neither was Mac Jones. Mac Jones, and when I remember when Ty signed with Alabama, he referenced the development of Mac Jones, but he's had to take a similar path. Now, I thought he would beat out Jalen Milroe a couple years ago. He wasn't ready. But now he's stayed the course. I admire him for staying because, look, we know in this portal era and the quarterback carousel, he could have left 2 years ago. He could have left last year. He could have, you know, he could have left at the end of this season. But he stayed every time, and now he's a redshirt junior. He already has a degree. And I think they're going to build an offense around him because I just don't think Keelon Russell's ready yet. I went into the spring thinking he might be able to surprise some people and win the job, just simply because, as you just said, there wasn't a lot of experience. When Bryce got here, there was Mac Jones who'd waited his turn and already played extensively. And when Tua got here, it was the reigning SEC Offensive Player of the Year and Jalen Hurts. So there was already established people. There wasn't really established people in front of Russell. And he had some bright moments, but I think Ty was steady as she goes. And they've got Ryan Williams going into year two. They've got, Jeremy Bernard. They've got Isaiah Horton that he helped recruit here. They've got Josh Cuevas. He's going to have weapons around him. I think he's going to have a better offensive line. So I think if Ty Simpson stays healthy, and that's the one variable you can't control, Gary, if he stays healthy in this offense, and it's in a quarterback's dream because your coach, you know, the Kalen DeBoer has a lot of Steve Spurrier in him. He wants to be aggressive. He doesn't play to his defense, so to speak. He trusts his defense to get him the football back, but he wants the quarterback to be aggressive, throw the ball down the field. He wants to be balanced. And I think if Ty Simpson stays healthy, yes, I think he can have a really great year at Alabama, no doubt about it.
Drew, I'm letting Chase double up the break, so I want to try to squeeze in, and I mean literally squeeze in. I wanted to get into Bama in the draft. We'll try to do that next week because I want to get your reaction to the big national story from the draft, and that is Shedeur Sanders not going into the fifth round. And boy, the dust up that's come from that. I always thought the NFL teams had a right to draft anybody that they want when they want to draft them. But evidently, in some cases, if you don't draft a guy, you're going to feel the heat. Just your reaction to his spot in Cleveland in the fifth round, and what do you make of it?
Well, I mean, I think it's a great opportunity for him. Cleveland doesn't have an established QB. Kenny Pickett has not established himself. He was a backup in Philly last year on a Super Bowl team. He did not, rise to the occasion in Pittsburgh when given the opportunity. Now, that doesn't mean he can't become a good starting quarterback in the league. Some guys take a minute. But you got Joe Flacco, who's a Super Bowl champion, who's a 40-year-old, but has, you know, kept himself in great shape and can still play, I think. But he has a chance to compete and win a quarterback job. I think he's a good player. I never would have drafted him in the first round. I didn't think he was a first round guy. I thought he was a second or third round with the ability to become a starter. He may take a rookie season as a backup before he becomes that. But I think he processes well. I think he does a great job now as on the field, but off the field, he's got to humble himself. I think he really hurt himself, he and his dad, with the way they handled the pre-draft process and turned some people off. But now all that's in the past. You just got to go in and work and put your head down, and I think he has the ability. But I will say this, the hype kind of got out of control because I don't know if you remember this, Gary. You follow recruiting closely too, but he came to throw for Nick Saban and the coaching staff before he ever committed to a college.
I remember that.
When he was playing for his dad, and Alabama passed on him. Because Nick Saban don't care who your daddy is, even though he liked Deion. So, and then Nick Saban also made a mistake. I don't know that it was a mistake that he passed on Shadur, but he passed on Mason Taylor and admitted that was a huge mistake. They could have had Mason Taylor. But, again, they passed on Shadur. He was a 2-3-star prospect. He wasn't a blue chip. He was going to go play for Willie Taggart at FAU until Deion threw the lifeline, took him to Jackson State and then to Colorado. But I think he's a good player. He just needs to take this as a wake-up call of how to approach things because you're not guaranteed anything. Now, if they only have fifth-round money in you, you can be gone in a hurry. So you got to go in, work, and I still think he can become a starting quarterback in the NFL. But I was disturbed by all the vitriol too because Quinn Ewers was the number one prospect in the country coming out. And he goes in the seventh round, and nobody's
you're right. You're right. That. You're right. Drew, so, listen, man, I appreciate it. Got to go. I'm way over, but great stuff as always.
Yes, sir.
And folks, Drew on 977 ESPN Radio. Follow him on X. Listen for him on different shows, and find him at Tider Insider. Thank you so much, Drew.
Thank you, Gary.
All right, we're going to get to the break, and when we come back, be a little bit past the top of the hour. We'll be into hour number two. We're going to run all of our breaks. Thanks to Alabama Credit Union for bringing you this first hour, and we'll be visiting with Nick Browder, new head basketball coach for the girls at Thompson High School.
And all the science, I don't understand.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265 CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Steve DeSager.
Golden State's Jimmy Butler returned after last week's fall to score 27 points in the Warriors' playoff win over Houston, 109-106. The Warriors now lead this first-round series 3-1. Cleveland completed a 4-game sweep of Miami, 138-83, a 55-point victory. In the NHL playoffs, Florida's up 3-1 after beating Tampa Bay 4-2 with 3 goals scored in the last 4 minutes. Dallas whipped Colorado 6-2 to go up 3-2 in that series. The Penguins fired coach Mike Sullivan after 10 seasons. To Major League Baseball, the Mets' Brandon Nimmo had 2 home runs, 9 RBIs at Washington in New York's 19-5 victory. Baltimore led the Yankees 4-0 going to the 7th, 4-3 Orioles the final. The Twins have won 6 of 7 after an 11-1 decision at Cleveland. The Dodgers took the late game in 10 innings over Miami.
Tuscaloosa's Old Colony Golf Course is an 18-hole championship layout designed by 1976 U.S. Open champion Jerry Pate. Director of Golf John Gray and fitting specialist Bob Montgomery are PGA certified. Mike Shivitz is the head professional and director of the Tuscaloosa Junior Golf Program. Call today to...
Call, you'll actually talk to me. 205-800-8000. I've got this.
No representations made that the quality of legal services to be performed is greater than the quality of legal services performed by other lawyers.
365, 24-7. You'll find road and utility crews, tow truck, law enforcement, and first responders working along Alabama's roadway.
We're making improvements and helping our communities stay connected.
We're working hard to make sure you're safe on the road. Now we need your help to make sure we're safe too.
Alabama's move over law requires you to move over a lane when you see flashing lights on the roadside. And if you can't safely move over, please slow down.
Visit drivesafealabama.org, brought to you by the Alabama Department of Transportation, Alabama Broadcasters Association, and this station.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Another warm day today, partly sunny with only isolated showers this afternoon or this evening. The high today 85, tonight's low 66. Tomorrow, partly sunny. Showers will likely stay few and far between. The high tomorrow at 84. I'm James Spann on the ABC 3340 Weather Center. Center on Tide 100.9. It's 74 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
The Gary Harris Show. UCM host Tider Insider TV. Crimson Tide kickoff. Play-by-play for Alabama sports and sports director for WVUA 23. It's time for the Gary Harris Show on your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
All right, hour number two of the Gary Harris Show is going to be brought to you by Patterson Law Firm. Remember, when you call Patterson Law Firm, you'll never get a call center. You'll talk to real attorneys right here at home. Call 205-345-1000. That's 205-345-1000. Patterson Law Firm, local, trusted, and here for you when you need us. That's the difference.
No representation is made that the quality of legal services to be performed is greater than the quality of services performed by other lawyers.
All right, we're going to kick off this second hour with Nick Browder, who did an absolutely fabulous job as the head coach of the Hillcrest girls basketball program the last several years, including making the Class 7A state championship game this season, where they lost a heartbreaker to Hoover, and now has been announced as the new head coach at Thompson High School in Alabaster. Good morning, Coach. How are you?
Good morning. How are you guys?
Doing great. Visited with you briefly on the phone yesterday when I got wind of you leaving, and you told me obviously it was a tough decision. Hillcrest gave you an opportunity. You've had a great run there. You're staying in Class 7A. What went into the decision to leave Hillcrest for Thompson?
Well, you know, it was, you know, Hillcrest, you know, is a great administration. You know, we built a great program here. Forever grateful for the opportunity that they gave me to come and lead the women's program here. It was just, you know, something that, you know, maybe that I wasn't looking for. It just kind of happened, and you know, just couldn't really turn down the opportunity to, you know, there's only a few places that kind of, you know, stir your interest in the state, and Thompson's one of those schools. And you know, they just haven't had a ton of success on the women's side. And I just thought maybe it was a good opportunity to go in and, you know, start from scratch, build a program, and just kind of see what happens.
Yeah, you said a lot right there. You're going to one of the and again, Hillcrest has been fabulous under your direction, but you are going to a program that has as many resources, arguably, as any high school in the state. But as you alluded to, have not had the type of success in girls high school basketball that you would expect from a school like that. That's why they're hiring you, obviously. They're bringing you in to win big. Do you feel any pressure?
I mean, this is probably not the answer you wanted to hear, but I'm, you know, as a competitor, I don't think anybody can put more pressure on you than yourself to do the job. So, you know, obviously, you know, it's a little bit the microscope's a little, I guess, more on you, but you know, I feel like we got a good plan, and you know, we're gonna bring in some good assistants, and there's good players there, good people there, great administration, so we feel good about, you know, turning it around pretty quick.
The team you had this past season at Hillcrest, what an incredible basketball team, and the run that they went on. I mean, just a dominant team, and to be so close. I mean, it's still an incredible year. What was that experience like, coaching that team, getting to the 7A state championship game, and coming just up so close and coming up just a little short against Hoover?
Well, you know, I think that, you know, and I think if you asked every team, every person on that team, it wasn't the fact that you lose the last game that was, you know, probably the most demoralizing thing. It was the fact that the journey was over. They were a great group of girls that just enjoyed being around each other. And, you know, whether you win or lose that last game, you know, that's it. And I knew that they knew that they left it all on the floor, gave themselves a chance, you know, starting the game down 18-1, and then you're leading at half 22-20. Just, you know, incredible determination. And regardless of, you know, who comes in and to take over this job, they're great humans, they're great people, they're going to be great young ladies on and off the floor in the future. And then the ones leaving, we're actually doing a signing day tomorrow for three of our four seniors that are moving on to play at the next level. The seniors leaving are great people, and they're going to change the world one day. I truly believe that.
As you make this transition from Hillcrest to Thompson. I, you know, obviously I'm in the sportscasting world, and I know, you know, I've changed jobs before, although I've been here for 20 plus years now, so I think I've changed jobs for the last time. But, you know, the broadcasting business, you get an opportunity, you turn in your notice, you work it out, and you move on. How does it work in the coaching and teaching business? Do you finish out the school year here? How will that transition look?
We're kind of in limbo there, talking with, you know, admin here at Hillcrest, and then there at Thompson. We're trying to figure out. But right now, what I'm doing is, at the end of the day, a couple days a week, I'm going over to Thompson and trying to work some things out, have meetings with the players, individual meetings. We started that process yesterday. And then we're, you know, going to do tryouts next week. So I'm kind of doing, you know, still I have two classes that I'm teaching at Hillcrest. So, you know, I still have to fulfill that role during the day. So really just trying to go back and forth the best I can right now.
When we were talking yesterday, you mentioned to me clearly, man, what an incredible opportunity you were given by Hillcrest as a young coach and how good they've been to you. You already talked about the administration. How, even though this is a terrific opportunity, you've got a young family, I'm sure financially this is going to benefit you. But how tough was it when you had to tell the folks there at Hillcrest that you were leaving? What was that like?
It was probably one of the hardest things I've had to do. You know, a group of girls that, you know, look up to you and, you know, depend on you for direction and things like that, and had a lot of success and gained some, you know, a lot of relationships and gotten really close with those girls. And it was very, very difficult, especially, you know, maybe they're in a season of life where they probably don't understand all the logistics of all of that type of move. And not really knowing, you know, understanding what I'm saying. It was very difficult. I'm still dealing with that a little bit, you know, especially still being here and, you know, seeing them sometimes and things like that. But I think hope one day they'll understand and they know that, you know, I still love them and will do anything I can to help them in the future.
What is it that allowed you to come in and have the kind of success you had at Hillcrest? I mean, obviously you're a good coach, but, you know, when you take over, and you'll have, you know, the same challenges at Thompson. What goes into when you take over a program, getting it going? I mean, you have to coach the talent that you have. I'm sure that, you know, there's development, all those things that go on, but what you know, they're hiring you to win big. You won big at Hillcrest. What's the key to winning big? I mean, you got to have talent, I understand, but coaching wise, are there things that you bring to the table that you think separate you maybe from other coaches?
Well, I think, you know, one of the number one things that you have to do, especially going to a new place, is trying to build relationships with the team and the staff and the people around you, and creating buy-in, you know, from inside the program. Making it an enjoyable environment that they want to come to every day. You know, I always took pride in wanting practice to be the best part of each player's day. Because if they're enjoying what they're doing, they're being held accountable and they're doing it at a high level, they're going to get better because they want to come. They're not like, oh man, I got to come to practice today. So just getting that buy-in, giving them ownership, you know, discussing with them, giving them a voice in the program, but also holding them accountable to that as well, I think is one of the key things to start fresh and to kind of get it rolling early.
When you get there to Thompson, you played this team. what is the current status of the program and what do you think you have to do to get it to a high level where you can compete for a championship?
I think there's some talent there. It really is. I mean, I think they've had a lot of coaching turnover, not a lot of stability. You know, you might have had some people leave, you know, and rightfully so, not really knowing who your coach is going to be. So I think there's some, you know, cores there to build something. And so I'm really excited to get to work and get to know these young ladies and really just trying to see where that ceiling is.
What do you think it'll be like next season when you face Hillcrest?
Oh man, it's going to be really tough being on the other side, but you know, I'm going to try to, you know, I don't want it to be about me and I want it to be about the team and just try to do what I can to, you know, to help our team be successful. But at the same time, you know, having us, the Hillcrest girls will always hold a special place in my heart. You know, that first program that I was able to be a part of, you know, on the women's side, and it's going to be a roller coaster of emotions for sure.
Yeah. Well, it was a great run at Hillcrest, man. You had good teams, and 6A, 7A, didn't matter. You guys were outstanding, and good luck to you, and appreciate you coming on this morning.
Yes, I appreciate the coverage. Really, really thankful for you having me.
All right, Coach. Coach Nick Browder from Hillcrest High School on his way to Thompson to become the girls' basketball coach. All right, it's 10:13 here on the Gary Harris Show and the YMCA of Tuscaloosa. Now, I took a few days off, obviously, when I was down at Orange Beach, but ready to get back over there and get back, resume my training. I love the Y. I wouldn't want to go to any other gym. That's why I've been a member for 20-something years. It's got everything that I need, including great people. And when I say great people, I'm not talking about just the staff. I'm talking about the members. It's a community of people that look forward to seeing each other. You know, I go about the same time, usually, you know, around 11:30 when I go. So that lunchtime crowd that I see every day, or what every day, but when I'm there, I see them. I enjoy visiting with them too. So you need to check out the Y, 2313 Street downtown. Find out, you know, there's a gym and then there's the Y. And the Y is so much more than a gym. Find out more at ymcatuscaloosa.org. All right, we're going to come back. Our first open segment in a while. We're wide open for phone calls. Also, Chase, I'm going to discuss NIL, which is nothing new, but NIL at the high school level. I think Alabama's one of just a few states left that doesn't provide NIL, but there are a lot of people working to change that. I'll have the latest on possible name, image, and likeness coming to the high schools legally in the state of Alabama. It's coming. It's just a matter of when, I feel like. We'll discuss that next right here on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 AM WTBC, your home for Alabama sports.
West Alabama Real-Time News Update from the Tuscaloosa Thread Newsroom.
Here are the headlines from TuscaloosaThread.com. Construction is about to get started on the West Alabama Highway. That work will four-lane the highway between Thomasville and Moundville. A male victim is in critical condition after he was shot around 11 last night in the Greenwood Park area of West Tuscaloosa. A driver who fled from a traffic stop is in custody after a crash took out a traffic light pole on Highway 69 South last night. And in sports, the Atlanta Braves beat the Colorado Rockies 6-3 in Denver last night. Summertime is coming, so let Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram put you in a new Ram truck, a Dodge Charger, or a Jeep. Shop the dealership where Bama quarterback Jalen Hurts shops. Tuscaloosa CDJR online at TuscaloosaCDJR.com or see us at 550.
Offer in-store only. Restrictions apply. See store for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Auto Parts.
Since 2011, Billy's Sports Grill, located on Main Avenue in historic downtown Northport, has been serving their legendary signature chicken sandwich, award-winning wings, and handcrafted cocktails. Billy's is also the spot to watch all your favorite sporting events with big-screen, high-definition televisions, both dining rooms, at the bar, and out.
Or you can shop online at TuscaloosaCDJR.com. At Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram, you pick it out and we'll work it out. Roll Tide.
Life doesn't wait for when your finances are in perfect order. It just happens. But no matter what surprises come your way, Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages, and auto loans. They offer an easy application process and fast decisions so you can stay focused on feeling good about whatever life brings your way. Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages, and auto loans. Alabama Credit Union, loans for real life. Visit alabamacu.com to learn more. Some rules and restrictions apply. See if you're eligible for membership, then join today and feel good about your money.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Another warm day today, partly sunny with only isolated showers this afternoon or this evening. The high today 85, tonight's low 66. Tomorrow, partly sunny. Showers will likely stay few and far between. The high tomorrow at 84. I'm James Spann on the ABC 3340 Weather Center on Tide 100.9. It's 75 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Find Tide on Twitter at Tide 100.9 to keep up with show announcements, guests, and our reporters in the field.
You went too slow to my girl. You never
Jackson, the solo artist, there was the Jackson 5, Gary, Indiana. And yes, even then, Michael, little Michael was the star, but that entire family, it gets lost in the shuffle, I think, of Michael. That entire family, including the sisters, incredibly musically gifted. I mean, just natural. And I'm old enough to see, I'm old enough to remember. I was 8 years old in 1972, Chase. So I remember the Jackson 5, the Osmond Brothers. I remember, you know, all of that. And incredible time. All right, we got a phone call. We're going to get to Cowboy. But I do want to mention to you that Hall Tech Sports is a site and a Twitter handle that tags me in all of their tweets. They do a great job with high school sports and keeping up with prospects. And also tweeted out this morning from Hall Tech Sports, at the last minute, a public hearing will be held today at 12:30 in Montgomery. For all the supporters, concerned parents, and coaches, please be in attendance for the hearing on HB 489, which is presented by Jeremy Gray, a State House of Representatives member from Opelika. Although this matter will be an uphill battle, today continues the conversation on the advancement and growth Alabama high school sports for young men and women across our state. It's no longer a matter of if, but when. Note, Alabama remains one of the last 12 states, I knew it wasn't many, to not adopt or allow NIL to high school student athletes. So, it's getting close, I think. And I, listen, would I prefer NIL not to get to the high school level? Yeah. I preferred it not to get to the college level, to be honest with you, at least the way that it was done. But the reality of it is, it's already happening. I'm not in a, you know, my head's not buried in the sand. There are high schools in this state that are bringing in players. Families are moving into to districts. You know, we're headed toward, I think, a time in the state, whether it's through NIL or through, you know, the right to choose, where you'll just be able to go to any high school you want to go to. So that's where we're headed. So you probably do need to go ahead and get something in place so that you're not losing your top high school athletes to other states, which is happening. So that's kind of where we're at. All right, let's jump out on the Storage Center hotline. Remember, for all your storage needs, both regular storage and climate-controlled storage, it's the storage unit of Tuscaloosa. Cowboy is with us. What's up, Cowboy?
How you doing, Gary?
Doing well.
That looked like a fun celebration yesterday at the White House with the Eagles and some of their players. Did you get to see any of the highlights of it?
You know, I didn't. I'll look for it because I was, you know, I was still kind of in transition from getting back from the beach and wasn't on air last night for the sports, but I'll look for it. So they looked, they had a lot of fun, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. Looks like President Trump had a bunch come through the Oval Office. They all shook hands. The only guy missing was the quarterback, but I guess he had a reason maybe for not being there, but he wasn't there. But Saquon Barkley played golf with him on
Sunday. I did see that. I did see Saquon taking a lot of heat for playing golf. But to me, if you get an opportunity to play golf with the president, who I certainly wouldn't turn it down. And again, I don't get political on this show, and I'm not going to now. But I'll just say what I always say. As an American, I respect the office of the presidency, and I always, whether it's a Republican, a Democrat, moderate, liberal, conservative, this is just me. This is as political as I'm going to get. I always pull for the president to do well. I don't understand why you wouldn't. I don't understand why you would pull against your own president, regardless of what your party is. Once the president is the president, but that's all I'll say about that. But I'll look for that video of the Eagles. I will.
Yeah, I mean, I would go with any party, whoever the president is, the respect of the presidential office.
Absolutely.
And, you know, the camaraderie with your teammates and
it's an honor that's been going on for some time. I want to say President Reagan started it, but you know, you win a championship, pro or college, and have an opportunity to go to the White House. I can't imagine that you wouldn't want to go, but that's just me. What else you got?
Yeah. Well, the the deal with the high school NIL is.
And they got it in Texas yet? They got it already in Texas, don't they, Cowboy?
I think so, but I don't really follow it that much. But how much could Thompson play a player, or how much could Hoover play a player? Because the coach is leaving Hillcrest to go to Thompson because they got more resources.
Sure they do. I mean, that's just the reality of it. I mean, you know, I just had Nick Browner on, who he loved coaching Hillcrest. He loved this community.
Right.
But I'm sure financially he's got a young family. I know he's got a wife, and I want to say he's got at least two kids. He may have three. You have to look out for what's best. And I'm sure salary-wise, they were able to offer him considerably more than he's making at Hillcrest. And that's another thing. You know, for so many years, the state of Alabama – the Alabama Education Association, you know, really, there wasn't a lot of difference in salaries between, regardless of the system. But now that's not the case. And coaches are, you know, there are supplements that coaches get. So, yeah, I mean, we're already seeing the disparity between, you know, even at the big school level in Class 7A, there's 32 7A high schools in this state, but they're not all equal. There's you know, some at the high end and some at the lower end. And if you're in 7A and if you're at the lower end, you're operating at a disadvantage. That's just the reality of it.
Yeah. Well, you know, I wonder if there will be like a minimum amount or just whatever goes. You know, the kid from Sparkman's leaving Alabama to go play for Josh Niblett in Gainesville, Georgia, and he's committed to play football at Alabama in 2026, you know. So, I mean, it's already happening where kids are leaving Alabama and going to another state, you know.
Hey, Cowboy, I just got a text from Robbie Glenn, former Alabama baseball player, of course, Striker Strong, and one of our great listeners as well. He said Jalen Hurts wasn't there because he was on his honeymoon. So I guess that is a pretty good reason.
Oh, well, he was in New York the night before for the Time – magazine award.
Okay.
No, man of the year. So I don't know.
All right. NIL situation, I think it's inevitable. How you handle it is important, but I do think that Alabama has, you know, this state, and I love living here. I've told you that before. I love living in Tuscaloosa and Northport. I love it. It's been great for me. I think it's a great place to live. But this entire state, I mean, there's still no there's no lottery. There's no form of legalized gambling outside of, you know, tribal casinos. And I think that this state does lag behind other states as far as, you know, getting going in terms of revenue for schools and for the school systems. I mean, it's not just in sports. I mean, again, I'm a believer that an education lottery would bring a lot of money into this state to help kids with their education, and yet nothing seems to happen.
Well, the education lottery, I think the education lottery, the lobbyists are keeping that from happening because you got the Creek Indians and the Choctaws over in Mississippi.
No, listen, lobbyists are a big part of it. A lot of money comes into this state. I agree with you there. At the same time, Georgia's managed to get gambling. Tennessee's managed to get gambling. Florida, Mississippi, every border state in Alabama has some type of legalized gambling. And so they've had to you know, you would think that you could break through. But anyway, that's another topic for another day, and I'm kind of getting off my usual expertise, which is sports.
One last thing. Take Barry over to Starkville, Mississippi, and show him a good time. He's picking on Mississippi State pretty hard.
Barry was this morning?
Oh, yeah.
Right in front of Chase?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the worst job in the league. The worst, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. He gut punched him.
Well, was you talking about worst job, football or basketball? Or everything?
I mean, like, it's kind of like the worst place in the league, you know?
Well, I guarantee you, baseball-wise, it's not the worst job. And as much as I love following Alabama basketball, Mississippi State went to a Final Four 30 years before Alabama did. So, football-wise, it's a tough job. I'm not going to lie. But Dan Mullen had them at number one. And if it hadn't been for Nick Saban, they probably would have, you know, been in a BCS National Championship game. So. But it's a fun little town, great little community. I agree with you.
He needs to give him a weekend over there and show him around.
A tutorial. He's been there when he was, on his dad's staff at Alabama. I'm sure he was a GA, but it is a tougher job than most in this league just because of what we're talking about with the high schools. Mississippi State just doesn't have the result, have the resources that some of these schools have. So, all right, Cowboy, I got to get to break.
Yeah, maybe you could have Stingray on the show and talk good about Mississippi State or something.
Stingray, all right, I may do that.
Is he still doing his after-six show?
Yeah. Well, Stingray shows.
Hilarious.
It's a hot show. He gets some incredible guests, you know what I mean?
He gets national
celebrities, man. All right, Cowboy.
How could you turn that guy down? Bye-bye.
Appreciate you, buddy. All right, 10:30, real quickly, let me mention the $99 suit sale at T-Town Menswear and T-Town Gallery, University Mall. Continues, just what I said, $99 gets you a full suit, coat, slacks, tie, and shirt. You can't beat it anywhere. That's why you have to go to T-Town Menswear and T-Town Gallery in University Mall. All right, we're coming back with our Patterson Law Firm segment with North Patterson. I already gave you the topic at the top of the hour. We'll revisit it when we come back on the other side of the break. North is in studio. That's coming up next. Your phone calls are welcome if you have any legal questions at 205-342-9904. We'll be right back.
Again, call 800-417-6411 and give us your answer. The proceeding is not a contest or sweepstakes. It is a paid advertisement by Family Vacation Getaways and is not sponsored by or affiliated with this station or program.
You're listening to The Gary Harris Show. For Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9.
And streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Welcome back into the Gary Harris Show. North Patterson from Patterson Law Firm is in for our legal segment. We try to do it most weeks. When he and Paul are available, they could be in court or tied up. But he's back with us, and we are going to talk about, can you recover if you get hit by someone with no insurance? And that happens, unfortunately, way too often, particularly in a state like Alabama. You know, some states have having car inspections and you can't get your car inspected and cleared unless you have insurance. Everybody needs it. We know that, North. But in this state, there are a lot of people, as I said, unfortunately, that are driving around without it. Good morning.
Yeah. Good morning, Gary. Yeah, roughly about 20% of Alabamians are riding around with no insurance.
Which is amazing to me. And we'll zero on this topic, but I'm amazed. I was talking about, you know, high school NIL, that Alabama doesn't have some type of system in place that you would think you would have to have proof of insurance before you could even get behind the wheel.
Well, you absolutely do. And, our law enforcement officers are good. They enforce that. Mm-hmm. They'll write no insurance tickets all the time and citations. But the problem that it has is when somebody gets hit and gets injured by somebody with no insurance, how can you recover?
Yeah.
Where do you recover? And
probably not going to recover from them.
Yeah.
Unless they got a lot of money, and they usually probably don't if they're not carrying insurance, right?
Exactly. That's exactly right. And so when somebody hits you without insurance, clients ask me all the time, can I recover? Do I have a case? My answer is yes. And this is what I want to instruct your listeners on this morning. There is a law in Alabama, it's called uninsured and underinsured motorist laws. What you can do is, and most people have it on their vehicle, I have it on mine and my wife's vehicle, you have underinsured and uninsured motorist coverage.
Mm-hmm. I know,
and
I have it.
And it's great to have. If you ever got hit by somebody that did not have insurance, that triggers your UM and UIM coverage, that uninsured, underinsured motorist coverage. And so you actually make a claim on your own insurance policy and saying, hey, I got hit. Somebody's can't pay for the damages that they caused me. And so I need my insurance to step in and pay on my behalf. And so that's what we facilitate at Patterson Law, is we try to get as much as we can recovered for the client to make them whole. And oftentimes it goes to that underinsured and uninsured motorist coverage. And so let's say that somebody hits you, they didn't have insurance, you can go down that route. Well, if somebody hits you and they only have $25,000 in coverage, which is the state minimum, and your damages are $100,000 in medical bills, then you can still trigger your uninsured and underinsured motorist coverage, saying, hey, this person that hit me, they're going to pay $25,000. That's all they have on their insurance. I'm going to need my insurance to step in.
Wow. Yeah, that's needed for sure. What goes, of course, we know that I have an insurance card in my wallet that says, you know, call us immediately. Don't talk to the other side. But if you're in an automobile accident, or you know you're hit with someone, or regardless, and before the police get there, let's say you're both well, hopefully, but you get out. You know, usually there's some conversation between you and the other party. What if they tell you right off the bat they don't have insurance, but I want to take care of this. You know, let's not involve the police. You know, you get that sometimes. You know, you're not hurt, I'm not hurt, here's my phone number, I'll pay for it. You should never, never take that option, right?
Ever. Never do that. No, and it happens. People do that. They get out. It's a little fender bender. Nobody's hurt, really. Yeah. Always, always, always call the police first. And because what they will do is they will get there, they'll write everybody's information down, they'll get anybody's insurance card, and then they'll go back to their office and they'll write a report.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's say a few weeks later that you start hurting from that accident. You know, at the time of the accident, your adrenaline's pumping, you think you're okay. Yeah. Oh, I see it all the time. And then a couple weeks later, you have a herniated disc in your back, and it was because somebody hit you. If you would not have called the police and gotten that information, those people probably would have been long gone in the wind, and it would have been really difficult to track them down. So the police, they get the, and any law enforcement officer, they get this information, they write a report. Us lawyers are able to gather that report to know the basic facts of what happened.
Listen, folks, if you've got a question on this very important topic or any legal topic, you're welcome to call us here on the Storage Center hotline at 205-342-9904, 205-342-9904. North loves to take phone calls. Last time he was in, I think we had two or three phone calls, so you're welcome to join the conversation. All right, I want to get back to, and you're an attorney, but you're a personal injury attorney, so you're dealing with a lot of automobile accidents. States that have inspections, does that help make sure more people are insured, or I guess still people can get behind an inspected vehicle that don't have insurance? I mean, I guess there's, because I'm going back to that, you would think that you wouldn't have 20% of your drivers on the road without insurance. Is there anything else that could be done to make sure more people are insured?
Yeah, I think a lot of it starts with the dealerships too, and dealerships do a great job. Yeah. They say, hey, you need to have insurance here, but before you drive something off the lot, you know, you need to be able to show proof of insurance. What the problem is when people have insurance and they let it lapse, man, it's gone. And that's what the importance of uninsured and underinsured motorist coverage is. And I want to kind of instruct the listeners on this topic real quick. This uninsured, underinsured motorist coverage that I'm talking about, it goes in your pocket with you. So say you're hit and you're not in your vehicle and the person that hit you had no insurance. Well, your own insurance coverage covers you there. You think of it as your insurance card is in your pocket, doesn't matter what vehicle you're in. Additionally, you can do what's called stacking under Alabama law. So let's say that you have three vehicles, all that have uninsured and underinsured motorist coverage at $25,000. If your damages are $75,000, then you can stack those three vehicles on one policy. So that's $25,000, $25,000, $25,000. That will cover you. Now, let's say you have five vehicles, but they're all on separate policies. Well, the law says that if they're on separate policies, you can stack all five of those vehicles. And 25,000, 25,000, 25,000, 25,000, 25,000. So it's, the law says you can stack three vehicles that are on a single policy. If you have more than three and they're on separate policies, you can stack as many as you need to cover your damages if you're hit by somebody.
All right, got a social media message. Megan says, I've got one for North. what happens if neither party has insurance in an automobile accident? Do they both call lawyers?
Well, you absolutely can. It's a good one.
And 20% of people are driving without them, it can happen.
Yeah, that's the importance of uninsured and uninsured motorist coverage right there. If both parties have no insurance at all, then it's extremely hard to collect off a judgment.
Yeah.
You know, you can go all day in court. You can try the case. You can get a judgment that says, okay, you've won this case. Well, then it goes to how do we collect if the party has no funds to pay you? And so the answer is it's doable. It's extremely time-consuming, costly, and there's no guarantee behind it.
In that case, of course, you don't want to wind up on a Twitter video getting into one of your fisticuffs or not. But because you just said it's hard to collect. If that happens, of course, first of all, you're both at fault if you're driving around without any insurance. But I hadn't even thought about that till we got that question.
Yeah.
If that happens, is that a situation where maybe both parties do want to try to, assuming nobody's hurt, try to work it out amongst themselves? I would
always say still call a lawyer.
Okay.
And call the police and then contact a lawyer.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we might be looking at some legal avenue that somebody's not.
Might look to sue you if you don't.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. So I would say you always call us, make sure that we protect your rights in a situation like that. And, you know, we're in the business of being open and honest with our clients. Mm-hmm. If we will never lie or say, hey, this isn't what it is. So that I would always say get the advice from a lawyer first.
All right. Here's one from me. You, unfortunately, in your line of work, you see tragedy. You represent families. What if, and this happens too, unfortunately, someone that has insurance is T-boned or rear-ended or somebody runs a light, an uninsured motorist hits that person, and there is a fatality. At that point, you're talking about loss of life for that family. You know, having the uninsured motorist part of your insurance is one thing, but you just lost a family member. But if that person has an insurance, what can be done there to try to get more damages for you and your family? And you, I'm sure you probably dealt with that.
Oh, right? Absolutely. You know, you look into what are the circumstances behind that person driving?
Mm-hmm.
Are they driving a vehicle that was negligently entrusted to them that they should not have been driving?
Mm-hmm.
And that might be a potential avenue.
So the person that owns a vehicle might.
That's right. It might be a potential avenue where that person who owned the vehicle should have never let that person drive in the first place. Is it a business that let that person drive that was negligently hired, trained, supervised them? That it was somebody that they hired that should have never been driving a company vehicle in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
That it's called vicarious liability with the law, and you can go after the business itself for doing that. So there's different avenues to explore when something like that happens. That's why it's crucial to contact us to go and explore those avenues for people.
Follow up, and then we're going to take a phone call. This is something that we're dealing with. There are a lot of people that are in the country illegally, working, you know, they're here, and they drive.
Right.
And they don't have insurance because they don't have a citizenship. What in the world, how do you recover anything other than own your, like you said, in your own policy if you're involved with an accident with somebody who's an illegal immigrant?
Same exact answer is, you know, it's hard to collect off somebody who doesn't have anything in the first place, and that's why it's crucial to have that underinsured and uninsured motorist coverage. But the same exact thing that we just talked about, I'm going to look at who hired them in the first place. Do they have a driver's license to even be driving the vehicle?
Mm-hmm.
Did somebody give them this car? And a wide array of different things that I'm going to look at to try to find out exactly the facts of what and the truth of what happened here.
This is another reminder, folks, and that's why North and Paul at Patterson Law Firm are here. Every time you get in that vehicle, I know you think about driving safe yourself, but we all literally put our lives in somebody else's hands.
Oh, absolutely.
Every time we're on the road,
absolutely.
Man, that's just reality. All right, let's jump out on the Storage Center hotline. Good morning, Tom.
Gary, good morning, and thanks for taking my call. I wanted to make this and see what you think about it. When you go get your tag, you got to prove insurance. If you finance a car, nobody's going to finance it without proof of insurance. And so forth and so on. So that there, and again, you know, the patrolmen, they have the ability to write you up for no insurance. So it's kind of hard to get by with it anymore, running without insurance as it was back in the day. But my question is this. My daughter was at school at Shelton. She's whipping through the parking lot at Winn-Dixie, hits a lady in her car. The lady wanted to be belligerent and all like that. And I said, look, lady, I said, we've got insurance. You know how teenagers are and this, that, and the other. Tried to cool everything down with her over the phone. And I said, you know, my insurance will be in contact with you to get your car fixed. And then she called me at home and wanted to sue me. And I said, well, all I can tell you is go ahead. But that's why I got insurance. Is that a correct statement?
Sure, Tom. Sure. Yeah. Absolutely, it is. You know, your insurance has a duty to defend you under Alabama law. So let's say that I was driving my vehicle and I hit somebody and I let my insurance know and that person made a claim on behalf of my insurance. Well, if that person that I hit ever filed a lawsuit against me, my insurance company has a duty to defend me. That means they have a duty to get me a lawyer. A lawyer that is competent and does a good job at his or her job and defends me on their behalf. Now, when they have a duty to defend, they also have a duty to settle the case within a reasonable number. Let's say that it's you have $100,000 on your insurance and you're saying to your insurance company, settle this case.
Are you saying $100,000 on your liability?
That's right, on your policy. Yeah, okay. Just or 25. You know, any type of number that you want to give. Let's just say it's 100 on your policy limits, and you say to your insurance company, "Look, you pay this person my policy limits, and they deserve it." You know, if they don't, and they say no, we're going to give them 30, and they go get a judgment that exceeds your policy limits, then you have what's called a bad faith claim against your own insurance company. So your insurance company has a duty to defend. If they don't do it properly and they don't protect you, then you can go after them for a bad faith claim under Alabama law.
Wow.
Wow, that's interesting there. There are so many angles to what you would think would be. But in my case, you know, my daughter hit somebody. Basically, it was a fender bender. And I thought, yeah, you know, she's at fault. I know how she is. And my insurance will pay for your car. But, you know, I could see where that would explode into something bigger. You know what I'm saying?
Sure. Mm-hmm. Sure.
But thanks. That's a good answer. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom, for the phone call. And we're wrapping up the segment here in just a couple minutes. But this is one. I'm just thinking of my own scenarios now. And thankfully, I've been pretty lucky as far as my driving record. The worst accident I was ever in when I worked at a TV station years ago, I was shooting news at the time and trying to get out to a weather situation and hydroplaned and totaled a news vehicle. Luckily, it was okay. But in my own personal vehicle, I've been pretty blessed. But we're talking about, you know, fender benders. And have you ever dealt with this where two people, there's an accident, like Tom said, that lady was getting belligerent with his daughter. Tempers are short. It goes from being an automobile accident to somebody lays hands on somebody else. And then you get an assault issue. Does that ever happen?
You know, I'm not going to sit here and say that doesn't happen.
I'm sure it has.
It's rare for that to happen. Normally, people are okay when a car accident happens. They talk. The police gets there quick. Yeah. Law enforcement does a great job of getting there fast and settle everything down. And they separate people for that very reason right there. And so, luckily, I haven't had a fisticuffs come in a massive situation
Hey, North, listen, I was in an automobile accident. Some guy beat the crap out of me. Yeah.
If that did happen, we'd definitely take a look at it.
Yeah. All right, man. Well, we're wrapping it up. Just a word about, again, I had you on to kind of introduce the segment. Glad that you're back with us. But you're a young lawyer, you know, joining a very established lawyer in your dad. But if people want to find out more about Patterson Law Firm, and I know what we talk about in the commercial, you never get a call center, you'll talk to lawyers, but how can they find out more info?
That's right. We're located right off Hargrove Road East, right past Snow Hinton Park in the heart of Tuscaloosa. It's at 1323 Hargrove Road East. Anybody can stop by at any time. Our office number is 205-345-1000.
Love that number. Yep. Easy to remember.
205-345-1000. Like I said, you're never going to get a call center. You're going to get us. And we will call you. We'll talk to you. You're never going to get charged for our phone calls. And we're here for you.
No representation is made that the quality of legal services to be performed is greater than the quality of services performed by other lawyers.
365, 24/7. You'll find road and utility crews, tow trucks, law enforcement, and first responders working along Alabama's roadway.
We're making improvements and helping our communities stay connected.
We're working hard to make sure you're safe on the road. Now we need your help to make sure we're safe too.
Alabama's Move Over Law requires you to move over a lane when you see flashing lights on the roadside. And if you can't safely move over, please slow down.
Visit drivesafealabama.org, brought to you by the Alabama Department of Transportation, Alabama Broadcasters Association, and this station.
Serving part-time in the Army National Guard has led to a lot of firsts for me. It paid for me to be the first person in my family to go to school. That education got me to the first day at my dream job, which I can still hold while I serve part-time. That job and the home loan benefits I got from the Army National Guard helped me buy my first house.
Research saves lives.
So please, help us fight in this battle against cancer.
Be a part of the team that ends cancer at standuptocancer.org.
Are you receiving unemployment? Your benefits could be at risk. Here's how you can protect yourself and your benefits. Never respond to mail notifying you of a false claim in your name. Never answer a text message asking you to verify your account. And only respond to official Alabama Department of Labor social media pages. Report fraud at labor.alabama.gov/fraud. Brought to you by the Alabama Department of Labor, ABA, and the station. The Alabama Department of Labor is an equal opportunity employer program. Auxiliary aids and services available upon request to individuals with disabilities. Dial 711 for TTY accessibility.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Another warm day today, partly sunny with only isolated showers this afternoon or this evening. The high today 85, tonight's low 66. Tomorrow, partly sunny. Showers will likely stay few and far between. The high tomorrow at 84. I'm James Spann on the ABC 3340 Weather Center on Tide 100.9. It's 78 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Alabama Crimson Tide lives right here.
Down to the pylon! Touchdown, Alabama!
On Tide 100.9.
And Roy Patterson stopping by. And as I said, we've got the legal segment scheduled every Tuesday at 10:30, depending on availability. Obviously, if North and Paul are tied up in court or can't make it. I've enjoyed doing this segment. I think it's nice to have, even though this is a sports show, I always say sports and more. And I think it's, you know, same thing with the music. To touch on some other topics occasionally, and particularly with an opportunity to have an attorney available to take phone calls and answer social media questions and things like that. So enjoy doing that segment. We're winding it down. Good to be back in studio this morning. And as I said, I got out of rhythm, didn't bring a bottle of water, didn't bring. And then Chase, you kind of gotten not where you expect it, but you kind of do. You're used to me bringing in our great Pepsi Zero Sugar from Buffalo Rock. And you brought you rarely do this, but you had a big breakfast in this morning.
Oh, yeah.
And you probably were thinking, well, I can't wait to have my Pepsi Zero Sugar to go with my breakfast, and you didn't get one this morning.
Guys, Gary let me down for the first time in like 6 months. Crazy, right?
How about that? So hopefully tomorrow I'll be back in rhythm. But hey, a reminder that I'm back on TV tonight as well. Catch me on TV with your local sports on WVUA 23. And Rodney Orr will join me for Tider Insider TV tonight at 6:30, one of our most popular programs. So we look forward to that. And then back tomorrow, our NASCAR segment with Matt Coulter, plus our music segment with Larry the Music Man. And we'll recap Austin Cindric's win at Talladega this past weekend. That's coming up tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. T-Town Sports Daily is coming up next. For Chase, I'm Gary. Thanks for listening, everybody. Have a great day.
I'll break 1,000 more, baby.